Blog Talk Radio.
And sorry about that, everyone, for anyone listening right now. We've had a little bit of technical difficulties, so we'll wait for everyone to get back on the air. Yeah, there's been storms down here in Florida, and I don't know if that's causing the delay or whatever, but a few of our callers calling in got disconnected, and then it was asking us to do all sorts of stuff. So we are finally, I guess, live on the air, and we'll wait for everyone else to call back in. And it appears we got Rodney now, so we'll go ahead and get to him. And how's it going, Rodney?
Great. I'm glad we got some issues worked out there. I know we had a little technical difficulty getting the show started, so good to be on, and sounds like I can hear pretty good, so sounds like a good connection so far, so we'll see how it goes. Looking forward to the show.
Yeah, apologize to anyone who's listening, and the intro music went on and off and on, and I don't really know what's going on with the website, but we definitely know our login information and whatnot, so just a technical difficulty. But, of course, there's always something going on to talk about. We'll not waste any more time. You know, there's all sorts of everyone in the world talking about these clown things. I know we've not wasted, but spent a lot of time talking about it, and some people kind of think it's a joke or a hoax, or some people think it's a legit phenomenon or whatever going on. But you know, these clown sightings are popping up everywhere, not just here in the United States. Now they're going on in the UK, they're happening in Germany, and I went to the grocery store yesterday, and I had some guy, this giant Hispanic man, who towered over me, and you know, I thought he was going to say something, how he's going to steal my lunch money or something. He was just this gigantic, scary looking guy. I don't know what he would be scared of. And he leans over to me and he goes, "Have you heard about these clowns?" And, you know, everyone's talking about it. There's recently been a shooting, actually, which is in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And they shot and killed someone dressed as a clown that had a knife. They being not the police. I don't know if they found the person yet. Last I checked, they didn't. But the police did respond to a shooting, so some civilian did.
Right. But that was a fake
knife. You know, if people are taking it into their own hands, I think it's getting a little out of hand. And, I was going to ask you, Rodney, and anyone who wants to call in, you know, our number is 646-668-2170. Again, 646-668-2170. Feel free to call in. I was going to ask you, Rodney, what do you think this is? I know we've talked about it again and again, but, I mean, we have people like Stephen King getting on the internet, you know, the infamous writer of It, my worst clown fearing movie ever, talking about it, and you know, he even thinks that there's something to it. He calls it clown hysteria, and he says it's probably something to laugh at, but at the same time, he doesn't want people to rule out because you don't know who the people are doing this.
Yeah, and I think what's going to be odd about that is, like, we had a discussion last week about this very thing, and I said, what happens when some guy goes out after dark in a clown costume and scares somebody and they get shot or you get beat up? And we're seeing that now, of course, and I think that's, you know, it's just going to play itself out eventually. You can't, I have to say, it's one thing to dress up as a clown, be during the day, doing birthday parties or something, or working for the circus or whatnot, or this type of other thing. But dressing up as a clown anytime after dark and actually putting a piece of cardboard cutout of a knife in your hand or anything of the sort and then running after people and laughing crazily or whatever, I think, you know, you're looking for trouble. And not only would I think the person doing that, even if it was just a joke, there would have to be something seriously wrong with that person to even risk their own life and knowingly risk their own life trying to scare somebody else in a clown costume. So So legitimately, if you had a gun and you ended up shooting somebody in your own self-defense and then finding out later that they weren't really able to threaten your life or really hurt you, they didn't have a weapon and whatnot, I think you would feel bad. But at the same time, I think we talked about this before with Halloween coming up and all, that this might lead into other things and copycats and whatnot. And so we already know that humanity as a general whole, as a modern era, and the industrial age and whatnot, since we've had clowns, basically, we've always had the court jesters, and that's kind of, I think, maybe where it started from or whatever, but the idea is that the clown's supposed to be funny and make you laugh and do all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, there's this overwhelming underlying evil that people like to consider when it comes to clowns because of their two-faced nature. Knowing that there is a grown man in there that wanted to put makeup on his face. And, you know, there's some comedians that really talk about that. It kind of makes light of, you know, the clowns are just people that have just taken it too far and go too crazy with the makeup or whatever. But, you know, I think, you know, what we're going to see this Halloween is people, you know, dressing up as clowns or whatever. Because it's an easy thing to do. All you need really is a wig and a, you know, some colorful outfit with some big, you know, bulbous shoes with stuff on them and whatnot. You know, so it's not difficult to go buy a clown suit. It's not difficult to make a clown suit. It's not difficult to paint your face. And you know, as a clown, you can paint your face however you want to paint it. You can be an evil clown. You can be a happy clown. You can be a sad clown. And that's the whole idea behind the clown interface here, is the fact that you can actually paint on your attitude for the evening. And yes, if you go out and you paint your face all up and you look really evil and you put on these fake teeth and you get a, you know, a weapon or something that looks like a weapon and you go jumping out of the bushes in the middle of the dark at people, you will be shot or beat up or at least thrown to the ground, or unless you're a really huge guy yourself, in which case, yes, people would run and flee for their lives or shoot you. So there's the dilemma. It's why would somebody a sane person, dress up as a clown and go out after dark? And then not only that, is why would you try to scare or chase somebody when you know that people carry weapons and guns and knives themselves? And so I feel bad for the people that, you know, were possibly shot or whatever, but from my understanding is just that these weren't necessarily psychopaths out looking to actually kill people in their clown costumes. These were semi-mistakes, you know, made by people who are, you know, being threatened by some weird guy in a suit and they didn't understand or whatever. So we need more detail on the incidents themselves, because I have not looked it up. I have not looked at it because I'm not really wanting to give it any more credence than it already has.
The incidents are widespread, you know, meaning looking into the details of them is more or less irrelevant, because what you're going to see is just mixed results. There's not a very good, you know, you have a large, obviously, sample size that you're dealing with when you're looking at people who've reported clown sightings, but there's no real way to measure the any type of statistic or anything behind it, just because they're all so sporadic. What's great now is social media, and I don't even use it really. But everybody can record something instantly. So you're getting these sightings popping up all over the place. So there's, you know, lots of things you have to ask. Is this some type of social media fad or something like that? You know, whether it's been the ice bucket challenge back when people for ALS were pouring buckets of freezing ice on themselves, you know, which is actually a great thing. They helped raise a bunch of money and all that. Or, you know, there's a new thing on social media that people want to film or be a part of always. But when you're dealing with people dressing up like clowns, it's a little bit different than someone saying, hey, look, let's raise some money for this disease. The clown sighting thing, I think, is almost, and I can't remember the exact wording, I want to say it's a alternative reality game or alternate reality game, which is basically, it's not like Pokemon Go, or it's not like these things going on now, which are kind of augmented reality games, meaning, you know, you're using your cell phone, you're using this technology, almost like virtual reality in a way, and you're adding things of a organized story into real life. That's kind of what Pokemon Go is. You're walking around taking pictures, basically, but these Pokemon and all that are popping into your screen. And, you know, that's this augmented kind of reality game that they've turned into an app. And what's similar to this clown thing to me is Slender Man, and I don't know if you remember that, but Slender Man was this, you know, they turned it into a game, and it was this app where, you know, you try and get away from this mythical, not mythical, but imaginary, not real, but, you know, kind of tall, scary shadow man that, you know, was after you. And, you know, he'd get closer and closer and closer, and the whole point of the game was to get away from him. And by me saying alternative reality, I mean that this isn't real. This isn't something that someone's actually really made up, or there's a storyline. You know, this isn't a real thing that people have to watch out for. This isn't a wolf, but people really immerse themselves in it. They get really, really involved. And there was actually a 13-year-old girl or 12-year-old girl that killed a couple of her friends saying Slender Man told her to do it. And this was, you know, a couple of years ago. But my point with relating all these things is that there's going to be these social media fads. There's going to be these giant things people want to talk about or be involved in. And even if they're not real, they're going to find a way to make it real themselves. They're going to make it a part of their reality. So, you know, is this someone, you know, is the clown fad people trying to be a part of, like, almost like the Slender Man thing, this alternate reality, just wanting to have fun and be a part of it? Or is this something more? The thing that creeps me out a little is the amount of, you know, documented pictures and videos. We talk about Bigfoot. We talk about UFOs. We talk about anything all the time. We're like, where's the pictures? Where's the, you know, the evidence? You know, we have ungodly amounts of videos and pictures you can look up now of clown sightings everywhere. My old high school was actually just shut down yesterday or the day before or something like that, I heard, for a clown sighting. You know, many people I know are seeing them everywhere. Now, most of them can be explained by people just wanting to scare everyone, but there has been many cases of people getting killed, you know, as far as there being murders nearby and then clown sightings at the same time, and they don't know if they're related. And then, you know, just recently, like we said, the cops responding to that shooting of the guy getting killed. And I've heard of so far someone killing someone dressed as a clown during this whole sightings. I don't know, and I don't think we're ever going to know what it is, but I'm, you know, of the opinion, just like you, you know, it's so easy for these people, whoever they are, to get immersed in it. And it's just something scary. You know, the clown, everyone's freaked out of. I was joking with a friend, we were having a beer earlier, and I was like, can you imagine if it were anything else, if it were cowboys or, like, astronauts
any
other thing? It would not be nearly as – and unfortunately, I named, I think, every type of character that's in the Village People, so everyone were looking at me weird. I was like, if they were a biker or a cowboy or an Indian, you know, the fact that it's a clown, it's going to freak people out. It's just, you know, it's just that. I don't know, though. I think that there's these supernatural clowns.
Right, and I don't think that you can classify it or categorize it at all as a one thing. As if there's one guy who's out, you know, a serial killer out there, you know, in a clown suit who's traveling around the world and killing people. That's not at all it. It's a mishmash, hodgepodge of different people in different situations and all that. But since we have social media and we have all the technology, that people are now, you know, explaining it to something else. And so, like I said, but what kind of person does it take simply to go out after dark by yourself in a bad situation or a bad area and dress up in a clown suit and hide around and jump around in the shadows? It's not some kid, because they wouldn't have the gumption to do that. I mean, they might be scared themselves or whatever. It's probably not some woman, you know. So it's really probably just a certain group of males in a certain age group who apparently have nothing else going on in their life, or feel that they need attention or want attention or something like that. Or, like I said, is it something like an internet fad that you talked about, that is it possibly just to say you went out and did it for something, excitement, you know what I mean? Like to almost get in trouble but not get in trouble, or, you know, something like that. Could it be a adrenaline rush for these people? Could it be something psychological? Or, like I said, I think it's individual. I think they're all individual cases here, so really interesting, but we'll see what
definitely
happens. Hopefully, we don't have any copycats during Halloween, though.
Well, we talked about it last show, and that was before the shooting. Mac had called in, and we were talking about that with a couple different callers, but we all predicted the same thing. There's probably going to be someone getting shot, and at the end of the day, we'll keep an eye on it. But the fact that it's scaring as many people as it is, and that these sightings are everywhere, you know, it just goes to show that not everyone, in my opinion, is as tough or not as easily scared as they say. These people are getting scared all over the world. You get people calling in from horrible neighborhoods that, you know, supposedly are, you know, not the place you want to go, but gangs and all that around there. And they're calling in saying that there's people dressed as clowns and it bothers them. So if people are scared about it, we definitely want to talk about it and keep an eye on it. Anyways, on to something else. And we did just have a caller on the line, and they disconnected. So we'll see if they call back in. They were not on the line, but for 2 seconds. So maybe they had a disconnection or something. But the next story I want to go ahead and get to is, you know, I'm an avid person on Reddit. And I read a lot of different things, and I don't want to give this person's exact name out, but then again, they made the information public just by talking to everyone on Reddit. And him and his wife have been having this bizarre occurrence, reoccurring thing going on where they keep getting woken up around 2 a.m. And they hear these noises that they don't really know how to describe, but it's almost like a helicopter-type sound from afar. And it kind of goes away, but when they get up, and particularly him, he gets up, they have windows in the room, and he'll look out, there's this light, and the way he describes the light is, as it's not illuminating the area like it should, but in terms of how bright this light is, it's like, you know, like a football or stadium light, very, very bright, but it's not illuminating the area around him. And so he keeps seeing this out by the forest, and, you know, didn't really, I guess, think anything of it, and it went away, and it keeps happening. He's been posting about it, and the thing is, he's been posting pictures and videos, and bear with me, because this is a little bit of a long story.
Right.
he's been seeing it over and over and over, and the pictures he's posted are actually pretty kind of hard to explain. I mean, I highly doubt anyone would go put a spotlight out in the woods or whatever, but the fact that he has videos and the light goes away and keeps coming and keeps going. It's not like anything I've really seen before. It's almost like if you had a some type of thing that was able to, you know, trap the light, but as well as illuminate the object that it was in, something like that. It wasn't really this lighting anything up. It was just moving back and forth. And what really started to bother him was this was, let's see, 8 days ago. Saw the same thing, heard the same noises. This time his wife wasn't there, but there was eyes that were glowing and looking at him that he said was, you know, right above it. And, you know, he had gone out there to kind of look, and he said that this thing had approached and had arms and had a face and hands, and it made like a shush, be quiet gesture. He assumed it was a person, so he runs back inside. And it continued to approach his house like it was a person. Granted, this is, you know, for anyone who's ever been in the country and there's not lights out, and if you don't really have anything, it is very, very, very dark, especially when it's the time of year that there's not, you know, there's clouds out and everything, especially with all the hurricanes going on. So very, very dark out. So this thing, almost like a horror movie, is coming towards his house as he runs back inside. And he turns all the lights on inside of his house, and the thing is gone. Calls his wife, all that, you know, ended up calling the police and trying to make a police report or whatever. And the thing that was kind of mind-boggling to me is that I've never really heard of the reports of there being, I guess, a light associated. I mean, we've talked about the ghost light, but with a apparition of person, that people can see with their naked eye. And the weirdest thing, the last part, is he has this video, and he's, you know, a lot of people are doing it now, where they have cameras all over their house for security reasons, especially you live somewhere rural or you live in a bad area, and, you know, just liability purposes, it's not even that expensive anymore. People get these whole home camera setups. So he has one, and on there they show one of the doors, and, you know, you could explain it by draft or whatever it may be, of people, you know, playing a prank or whatever. But one of the doors, during the same time period while he was, you know, recording and saying that all this was happening, is opening on its own downstairs, and not just to the point where it, like a draft where it would close or open a crack. It fully opens all the way and then fully kind of starts to shut the opposite way. It doesn't shut all the way, but weird stuff has been happening to him. His electronics are getting, you know, drained all the time. He says he's losing track of time and memories, stuff like that. And he had basically posted this asking if he should move, you know, if anyone has any. And sorry for the long story, but the subject I was getting at was people who have these experiences with, if you want to call it extraterrestrial or paranormal, or some people think it's a UFO or a visitor, and then afterwards have these weird side effects, whether it's their phone, the power, the experiences they have. You know, it's a whole subject in itself. Two questions I have for you, Rodney, are what do you think is it he's experiencing, especially since he's seen not only that light, but this apparition as well with his naked eye and on camera? And B, you know, in these situations, that there's these occurrences that happen to people and that they have these side effects, whether it's paranormal, extraterrestrial, do you think moving will even solve the problem?
Well, if you were to say that it was a ghost light or something like that, I would say yeah, because you know all the other reports we've had of similar lights seen out in the middle of the field and things like that, where they actually are only viewed by a certain vantage point and disappear if you approach them too closely. And so, you know, it's sort of strange. It's kind of like a 2-for-1 deal on this thing. I'm not really sure what to make of it because I have not seen any video. It seemed to me like just the last time he was out there, like every time he'd go out there, he would, you know, have a cell phone and have a camera on him or a videotape or, you know, his cell phone or something on him that would allow him to, you know, I'd like to really see a whole video footage of this, you know, so-called apparition with actual eyes.
Sorry to interrupt you real quick. We do have a caller on the line. It was probably maybe the one that was trying to call back in, and I want to get them before they take off. So we'll get back to the story real quick, and let's get this caller real quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah, okay.
And hi, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Drake.
Drake,
oh.
How's it going? Sorry, I didn't even recognize the number.
Who
is this serious person?
No, you're good.
Well,
hey,
we were
just
talking
about
go ahead.
No, yeah, I was going to say, I just wanted to fill you in, you guys, in real fast. I'm working on a pretty fascinating case right now. I'll be back on next week, next Friday, and talk a little bit more about it, but just to kind of give all of our listeners something to kind of think about and something for you guys to talk about as well, something really kind of interesting. It's called Brookdale Lodge, and it's actually in Northern California near San Francisco, and it's just a fascinating place. You can look it up online. Again, it's called Brookdale Lodge, and it's a former hotel that was very popular like in the 60s and 70s, and believe it or not, it sounds crazy. You have to see the picture to believe it, but there's a river that runs through the hotel, so you inside the hotel, there's a river, and you could swim, like, in the river with little floats, and there's been a lot of tragedy, actually, at this hotel. There's also a swimming pool and inside the hotel, and someone died in the swimming pool back in the 70s, and it was actually abandoned, and now it's not abandoned anymore. Someone came in and bought it, and they're trying to remake it into a hotel again, and they've just been experiencing some incredible activity. EVPs and the weirdest that I have never heard, and I'd be curious to see if you guys have ever heard of this. There's a maintenance guy who goes there just about every day. Says every day, every time.
I'm getting
time
real bad crackle. That's coming through your phone, by the way. So I don't know if you're on speaker or something, but we can hear you. There's just a crackle coming through.
Okay, I do apologize. But interestingly enough, a maintenance guy who goes there just about every day, he says that every day at 4 o'clock, a lamp turns on, and it's just a plug-in lamp, and it's always at 4 o'clock every day. And I've never heard of that, something to happen like that, boom, every day at 4 o'clock. So I'd be interested, and I'll listen off the air, but I'll be interested. Have you guys ever heard of anything like that? And again, I'll be on next week, and I'll fill in everybody a little bit more about this fascinating case.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
good deal.
Yeah. We will go ahead, Rodney.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the only thing I could say would be that the idea is that a lot of those old hotels and things like that, maybe they had an internal wire that was hooked up to the outside to a neon sign or something like that. And that sign would only come on when it becomes later in the evening or towards dark. And so that would come on So maybe they have like an external timer somewhere on part of the fuse box or one of the wiring, you know, coming out of the wall there, that it only allows power to come onto that area at a certain time. Hence, they would turn on automatically, say, an outside light, you know, advertising the place or something like that. So that would be the only realistic way I could describe maybe a light turning on at 3 o'clock, especially at a place like that. Is there possibly an internal timer somewhere that people don't know about that's clicking on the power to that part of the building at a certain time because maybe they, you know, didn't need it during the day or whatever, and it comes on at a certain time. A lot of night lights and things like that do that. Now, maybe there's already, like I said, possibly something in the building that's causing that was already there, but maybe just hidden away or built over, and so people can't find it anymore, and they don't understand why the light is coming on. Maybe the light itself, maybe he could try unplugging the light. Maybe it's light, you know, internally wired into the wall on, can you use it an on and off switch, you know. He would have to have a little more as far as, trying to make it stop and then see what happens after that. That would be my little take on it as far as what he might be able to do to figure this out. But I would chalk it up to possibly, yeah, since it's been there for a while, been abandoned as well, there's probably maybe some internal, nightlight technology on the system that only allows it to come on at a certain time. Other than that, yeah, I mean, if he unplugs the light, it'll still come on. Can he unplug the light? Can he turn it off? Can he put a new bulb in it? Can he plug something else in there, you know? So, I mean, interesting. So I'm sure we'll hear about it next week when we get a full report.
Yeah, and I got disconnected just for about 2 seconds there, so sorry if there was a loud beep or anything. The storm's going on here causing mayhem. But, as far as we're going to get back to the story you and I were talking about just before, but that was about the lights and the guy I was telling you about. But with this that Drake had called in, and good to hear from him as always, I don't really know. I am not by any means a handyman or a electrician like my good friend Dr. Phil on TV. I don't really, you know, if you wanted me to look at things involving electricity, I'd probably break it and kill myself or anyone around. Not exactly technically savvy, but I have actually heard before of there being certain brands of lights, and I can't remember if they were the LED lights when they first came out. I know LED have been out for a while, and obviously last much, much, much longer, and some people say the aliens gave them to us. But I've heard of different brands where people have been reporting exactly that. They have unplugged the entire ability for there to even be power to there. And I can't remember. I think it was a GE, a General Electric, like link bulb or something that I've heard that before where people said the same thing. It was immediate. They thought it was a paranormal situation or that there was, you know, ghosts, but that these lights that they had in the building that they worked in would be turning on and off by themselves. You know, they'd come in, the switch would be turned off, but the light would be on and no one had turned it on. Or, they'd go out of the room and the lights that were on are all off, but the switches are turned on. And then they'd connect, you know, disconnect everything. And then they'd come back sometimes and the lights would be lit up and, emergency lights would kick on and whatnot. There's weird occurrences definitely that go on with lighting. And I don't know if that's to blame electricity in itself or the way things are set up, or if that actually is paranormal, but I have heard of that before. I don't know about the exact situation he was talking about in the lodge and all that, but we will definitely follow it and keep an eye on it. And, anytime I've ever had anything that really freaked me out or made me feel uneasy, it was always electrical problems too. So maybe that's another part of it, having the certain electrical energy in the air. I know that's what sets off a lot of this equipment. That could be something that just really bothers people. Maybe that's what causes some of the uneasy feelings and some of the stuff people have. But to get back to what you and I were talking about before, we were talking about the guy who had reported the weird light and the apparition out in the woods by his house and then, on camera. Right. And I'll post all these to the website. You were just starting to get talking about it, and I had asked you, basically, do you think, what do you think this is? Do you think moving is going to help him? And is there something to be said about when people you know, yeah, have these occurrences and these extra side effects in life happen? What, you know, what's going on with that?
And the idea that this thing reached out towards him and said shush. Now that's just, we've all seen Ghostbusters, the movie, right? Where the apparition is in the library and it reaches out and it's got arms and it tells him he kisses them. You know, I don't know why I thought of that right away, but, you know, that seems odd. Was he speaking at the time? Was he making a ruckus? Was he banging boards on the deck or something? What was he? Why would an apparition tell somebody to shush? And if so, was he still looking at it at the time that it did that? Could he make out anything? Obviously, he said something about seeing some eyes and an arm. He liked apparition, but a sort of being of light that is reaching out towards this guy. And at this time that this happened, did he have his phone with him? Did he take video of it? Why didn't he, you know, have these sightings?
There was not a picture of the apparition. No, there was not a picture of what he reported, but he did say that it was body up, meaning, you know, no legs or anything, which is very typical in the paranormal community, or at least there being half the body. But he said the reason he said it was a shush motion is that he made out the elbow, the 90 degree angle, the right angle where the person had the infamous, you know, finger to the mouth where they're saying shush. And, you know, that may be far fetched, especially because there's not a picture. The pictures and the videos that he has put on there though, have me pretty convinced, and I'm going to post them to the website and send him a message with his permission. See if we can post those. And I'd love to get him on the air to actually next week or, even tomorrow at some point, if we do a show, get him on the air himself to explain it a little better.
Right, because without the details of what was, where was he walking, what angle was he, how far was it away, and it seems, like I said, normally our ghost lights and things like that that we see that are, you know, scientifically looked at are some sort of anomaly that happens, but can only be viewed from a certain distance or a certain area, and when you get to a certain angle, they disappear. But they do move, and they are made of some sort of light, apparently. So this has seemingly both. It has some sort of weird light thing happening as well as this apparition. Obviously, the apparition scared them enough to figure out whether I want to leave here or not. So normally, when it comes to something like that, I'm thinking that, yes, if it is some sort of ghostly spirit energy, it's localized and coming from a certain area and not necessarily, him himself, so obviously moving or going somewhere else. I think it remedies the situation if it is real, because for the most part, when you see ghost lights and things like that, they are localized and they're pretty steady and stay in a certain area. But so basically, yes, obviously the apparition did not actually make a noise from what I'm gathering now, which makes a lot more sense. And you would just see maybe a motion of the arm going up to the mouth. That would indicate maybe some sort of gesture towards the person, but it makes me feel better that, there wasn't some sort of noise. That would be like a trifecta of, you know, the Holy Grail ghost or whatever. So, I would have to look at it, you know, once you get those posted, I will look at those and get back with you on that. But I think that it's a very, you know, incredible story, and incredible stories need incredible evidence. And like I said, it just seems maybe odd that, you know, at the one time he does see an apparition that's actually visible to him, his naked eye, that he doesn't have his phone with him or something to say. And I can understand that, you know, being the case, if you're out and about every day and you might see something once every couple of weeks or something like that, and something just happens to surprise you at a certain moment. But obviously he was scared enough of it to run that back into the house. And then what happened to it after that? Did it attempt to get into the house? Is that what he said? Or is he actually just later on do videos of the door kind of swinging? Or did he say that it actually disappeared?
Well, it's been an ongoing thing for him. So, you know, he had been, and the reason I say ongoing and believe it, you know, it's one thing when people say it's ongoing, I've had these problems, but he's been posting to Reddit, which is for people who don't know, it's a social media, you know, no video. You can post videos and pictures, but they're just usually links to other websites. It's just a straight text blog type, website where people post about, you know, various things. And there's various subreddits, meaning that, whatever subject you're trying to look up, there's a subject page for it. You go there and, you know, you talk to people, and this particular one was in one of the paranormal / ghost / I don't even remember which one I found it under. But he's been posting about this for a long time, as well as his wife. And the occurrences seem to happen about once every week or two. And they actually have gotten to the point where they're asking people legitimately for help and saying, what should we move? It's almost like a movie. You know, I always joke when I watch those cheesy horror movies about the people, they can't escape the ghosts or whatever. But the pictures and the videos have came as a result of them now documenting and taking better care of, you know, understanding that they need to, you know, document this stuff. So at first, the first occurrences, which I was discussing, that was actually scariest, was not documented. But, you know, as far as the doors opening, the weird lights being shown out there in the woods and going back and forth, it's happening. And, you know, who's to say that the side effects him and his, as far as, you know, the electronics not working and feeling uneasy and paranoid and anxious, who's to say if that's a result of just the situation or if something actually is going on, but I will definitely send him a message and we'll try and get him on, maybe his wife as well, and kind of talk through over the course of an hour their experience, and you know, we can all figure out everything, and we'll post the videos and pictures if we can.
Right, right. I was going to say, could it be, you know, that this electronic disturbances and stuff are simply something else entirely, or are they tied in? And that's really, I think, what we need to get to, is whether or not these things are anomalous, or they're actually tied in altogether. Sounds like maybe the area itself, could give a better description of it, and the past history of the area, the location, and the building structure and all that. You know, I don't want to disprove them or anything like that, because obviously people don't go out of their way, especially to call attention to themselves, saying, oh, well, it feels weird and I don't like it, and we need something, you know, something done or some help or something like that. Generally speaking, people don't just do that to get attention, because it's kind of a negative attention and it's not a good thing. So, you know, obviously they're coming from a point of, you know, in themselves believing it to be real. So, very interesting.
Yeah, right on. And actually, I want to go ahead and get, we have another caller on the line, so I want to go ahead and get to them. And let's see. And hi, how's it going? Oh, hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've been listening to the show for a little bit, and I wanted to call in. I just now was listening for the last 10 minutes, so I didn't quite hear everything you guys were talking about. But I want to ask about, as far as, you know, when there's these sightings or these occurrences that happen to people and they find symbols that, you know, not just crop circles or certain things people are familiar with. The one I've been reading a lot about is called the mandorla symbol, the M-A-N-D-O-R-L-A symbol. And it's basically supposed to represent an almond nut in Italian, and it's supposed to be like the conjoining of various forces. And Christians and all sorts of religions have interpreted this symbol. And, you know, my question, I guess I'm getting at is, what is your guys' opinion on when there's these symbols that pop up in certain areas where people are having other experiences? You know, people who report the crop circles usually have other things going on. People who find symbols that are engraved in things also have, you know, reported at the same time there's been murders or things happening near them. Do you think that there's something to be said about symbols and these you know, engravements that have been found in various places? I'm just now kind of getting into researching it all, but I didn't know if you guys have any insight on it all, and if you've heard of the mandorla symbol at all. Rodney, have you heard at all?
You know, you're talking about something that goes back tens of thousands of years. We've also talked on the show before about what the symbology might be. It means in its entirety, because what we know is that the human language itself is inadequate at really describing everything, especially when it comes to human emotion and things like that. And especially when it comes to technology and possible other UFOs and things that, will we see possibly even in our own future, we could speculate that, you know, our language eventually might be replaced by symbology because you can, you know, with a picture, you can tell 1,000 words. And so it's basically one of these things that symbology also is goes into, you know, as well as mainstream religion, it also goes into the occult religions, it goes into witchcraft, it goes into demonic worship, it goes into the worship of the one guy, it goes into all these different realms. So it's not just one symbol or one thing, but all these different symbols, especially, you know, with the could be, you know, nuts or one of those things that, especially almonds and other certain types of nuts, they were a mainstay of humanity's staples of their food for thousands of years. And so it's almost like, I've seen some other articles recently about some of these new metamaterials and things that are coming out with these nanotechnologies that basically what they're finding is nature has its own pattern. And what they're finding now that they can, the technology and looking at the microscopes and things really small, they can find that itself has these amazing patterns and these mathematical consistencies with them. And when it comes to psychological terms in humanity, these things can actually be affected in one way or the other, especially if you spend time deliberating on them and focusing your energies and, say, your prayers or something like that. Now, it can work both ways. We talked about haunted objects as well. Simply, if you take a certain object and you put a certain symbol on it, we've got symbols that mean everything. We've got every different kind of symbol you could possibly imagine that has been used by mankind since we can, before we could even write. So if you can imagine possibly in the future that symbology and symbolism itself would be a more effective means of communication. And I do think that there's not necessarily power in the symbol itself, but that yet the psyche that's working on the symbol is where the power is coming from. And how would you know what that power, what that symbol introduced into each individual? Some people might see a symbol and say, oh, that's just a cross, or it's just a plus sign, or it's a, you know, something, it's just an ankh, or it's a whatever. But, you know, the Egyptians, you know, they have that symbol of the pine cone representing the pineal gland. And so throughout history, what we can see is that, you know, humans in their general psychological makeup tend to, you know, really put in great importance on a lot of things. And almonds and nuts and other types of things like that, which is like a food staple, they put a lot of emphasis on. And, you know, as far as symbology goes, yes, that is a, it's a whole other subject in itself. And if you have the right people on, you could talk for hours, I'm sure, on some of the basic ones that people allude to being religious symbols and other things like that. But I really think it comes down to each individual and how much psychological power yourself that you put into it. Because some people may see a symbol and totally ignore it, whereas other people may look at it and it may mean paragraphs of stuff. See, there's some numerology and other things as well, where you have a whole group of part of the society that is using, you know, certain symbology and certain numerology in order to, you know, to operate amongst themselves very freely and very openly with great communication and great transference of information, but with very few, you know, words. You know, if you just use symbology or symbolism or, you know, certain symbols, then, you know, it's a lot easier. And so are they all evil or are they all good? I think, like I said, it comes down to the individual. And if you ever look at ruins and ancient things like that, where you have hieroglyphs and certain things, almost every civilization that we can think of has had its own form of ancient rune writing. And, you know, those are basically all symbols as well. And if you look at some of the ancient, you know, Egyptian things and some of the ancient cultures use symbology as their language completely. And so it's sort of strange that we have, you know, different languages on the earth And yet at the same time, we all understand mathematics, and we all understand that to be exactly the same. No matter what you do, 2 plus 2 is 4. And so why don't we speak in mathematics? Why do we have different languages? It's a very interesting question. But I do think there's something to your question. I really think that the mandola symbol itself, I have not studied, but now that you mentioned it, I'm going to have to look into it now, and we'll find out what's going on. We might have a little more next week on that. But certainly, yes, they do contain the ability to give a overall feeling or a actual message of information or an overall psychological feel to the individual. And I think that all depends on the ceremony, the individual, and the practice in which it's used. And so, like I said, there's many people on the earth today that are very astute in this kind of thing, and it's, you know, they have their own reasons for it. But I think if we were to know this on a grander scale, then this would be like mathematics. It would also be a international, universal language, even amongst the stars, because you would have something that's consistent in its meaning. And if that could be established, then you might have something, and you might be able to use that as a communication device. But right now, people aren't that concerned about it because we have a language of our own. We have English and Spanish and all these other different languages, and we use that communication. But when it comes to math and other things, I think that's really where it's at. So symbology, I just don't think humanity is quite there yet as far as what it could be possibly done. Could be symbology, if repeated and acted upon psychologically, could they have an immense power themselves? Is this something that's possible? I think it is. And could it be that, you know, that certain shapes, and we know that certain shapes lend themselves to certain things. Our plant life even is copying this. And certain plants are good for certain things. And their shape indicates this. And so I think this is like a universal thing that we're talking about here. And that's about all I got for you right now until I actually research this mandola thing. I'll look that up and I'll see if I can find out something else about it and get back to you. But so I'll let Max go ahead and comment.
Yeah, you know, I think Rodney kind of covered a good basis of everything that I would probably go over as well, as far as, you know, you're not just dealing with is this one particular symbol good or bad when you look at symbols and you go to the occult side of things, and there's books and books and books and all sorts of stuff on the internet. I myself don't really like to study or read into the occult or as far as symbology and all that, just because it's almost like we tell people with the Ouija boards, I try and stay away from anything demonic or satanic. I don't mean disrespect towards you or anyone who may be into that subject. I just myself, I'm just, you know, I'm scared of killer clowns. So satanic symbols myself, that's a little much for me, but I have always, you know, I can't remember where it was in California that I went to. Gosh, it's going to bug me now. But here I am talking about things and I don't even know the terms or the places. But when they write on cave walls, is it hieroglyphs or however you say it?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that when I was younger and kind of getting real into that. And the fact that there's symbols and that there's these writings, you know, back in the day that people have had for hundreds of years to represent things, I've always been fascinated by the subject. Now, when you enter the whole idea of there being certain ones associated with evil and there being certain ones associated with, you know, sacrifices and religion and the occult, it really definitely is a subject, and I'm sure we could spend hours talking about it. Unfortunately, we don't have too much time, but I really do appreciate the question. And I'm not familiar with the mandorla, mandorla. I'm sorry, mandorla. Yeah, the mandorla. I was just going to say, yeah, I'm not familiar with that particular one myself. But kind of like Rodney said, you know, we'd love to have you on the air again, and kind of go over symbols in general, and, you know, especially like you said, you're just kind of learning about different ones. Myself, I'd love to as well, and I know Rodney definitely a little more knowledgeable as far as that subject than I am. And we could all, you know, go over it all and talk about different things and experiences that you or, you know, anyone might have. We really appreciate the call and everything. That's about all I got for you. But was there any particular experience you had, or was, you know, just the general question about the symbols and all that?
Oh, yeah, no, you know, I was just curious, your guys' experiences, if you've ever had anything, and no, I agree with what you said. No, I'm not a big occult demonic person myself. I just find it funny that sometimes there's these, I'm a kind of an artistic person, and, you know, a lot of these symbols are really actually really cool. I've been researching a lot of, like, tattoos and different things lately, and there's a lot of people now getting these occult tattoos tattooed on them, which is a whole other, I know, subject, but, symbols lately have fascinated me as far as, because, like, one of you had said, a picture can tell 1,000 words. These symbols, I don't think just, they don't just say that it's this, that, or the other thing. I think that they really have different meanings behind them, and especially when you're dealing with people that may use them in a way that's not what they're meant for, not what they originally designed. Just to, you know, whether it's a fashion statement or whether it's a something like that. But I don't want to take up too much of your guys' time, and I would absolutely love to call in again. I really, really appreciate you guys taking the call, and hopefully you guys, I'll be around tomorrow or sometime too if you guys want to talk on the air again.
Yeah, but thanks for the call. I'll research this, this symbol, and we'll look it up, and we'll find out what the shape is. And I'm assuming that you're being an artist type. You can actually sit down and doodle your own hieroglyphs, if I'm not mistaken, right? You basically can yourself draw symbols and make symbols up, yes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm more into the tattoo artists and stuff like that. What really got me interested in it was, it's really funny, a friend of mine had the worst tattoo I've ever seen in my life, and I started researching... I started researching all these different, symbols, and, you know, there's a lot of people. It started with the people getting Japanese writing and everything on them. I've just always kind of been a little into the subject, and I don't think I'm definitely a great artist, but yeah, I could draw my own hieroglyphs and various symbols. And what I like to do too is try and trace these symbols that they have online. If you print them off, you trace them or try and redraw them, and as you're doing it, you realize that a lot of these lines and these things that connect, if you halfway draw one or you take out a certain part of them, they have certain angles and they can almost form other symbols in themselves, and they're very relatable. The mandorla symbol is one I'm just now getting into because it's almost it's the whole yin or yang, I guess, idea. You know, people have used it in every religion. I am by no means an expert or no means this is just a hobby of mine, and it's fun, and I love Blog Talk Radio, and I listen to all the different paranormal shows, and I've heard you guys before, so thought I'd give you guys a shout. And,
so what you mentioned there, being interested in tattoos, could it be then that yes, symbology itself has power, and if you actually take the symbol and put it on your human body, does that mean that the people doing this actually feel that that symbol is imbuing whatever power they are thinking of into their spirit, into their body as a whole? Could this be part of the practice? Is that, yes, if I'm going to use a symbol, normally you would put it on a necklace or something like that and make it out of a piece of metal, put it as a piece of jewelry, and put it on the person. Putting a tattoo of a certain symbol on the person is certainly much more, entailed as far as how close it is and what it means to you. And it's one of those kind of things that's a little strange, but, could it be that certain symbols may imbue certain powers to the person? Is that a possibility? And that's an interesting question we might look up next week, because we're on usually on Friday, so we'll see if we can't maybe touch on this subject again next week or next Friday, but definitely a good call.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it, guys, and have a good weekend. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely a great call there, and hopefully we'll get to hear from him again. I didn't catch his name. I meant to ask him that before he got off the line. But, as far as symbols go, like I told him, and, I don't know enough about them myself, and they do indeed get a little scary. Half the horror movies, I guess, you know, everyone's familiar with the infamous star in the circle that I still don't know what it means, but I guess that means you're a devil worshiper or something, or I still don't know what it means, but I know Slipknot had it on one of their albums.
Well, it goes all the way back to the pentagram. And the pentagram itself is supposed to be, yes, have some internal power, because when you do the pentagram and you draw the pentagram, you can make it look like a goat's head. And the pentagram actually fits in to say the Pentagon. You know, the Pentagon is shaped like it is because you can put a pentagram inside of it. You can draw a woman right inside of it, you see. So, now, why did the United States government and the people that run the greatest nation in the world decide to make their home base or their best office shaped like a pentagon? Is there a reason for that? Is there a reason why they lay out the things that they lay out and the patterns and the shapes that they do? Of course it is. There's a reason behind it all. And, you know, whether or not you think it's evil or the pentagram is evil, it you know, like I said, it's up to the eye of the beholder, in my opinion. But there's certain things about, you know, even our own leaders and the people that built this country use symbology heavily. So, it's a subject that you can go on and on and on with. And if you decide to, you know, make a knight out of each individual symbol, you can do that as well and have speculate on individual symbols. But, good call. Like I said, you could go on for a long time, I think, about that. But, we generally stay away from the pentagram. If there's a pentagram with a circle going around it and...
Right. I did not know the name. Now you've taught me.
It's the base
no
model
good.
Pentagram. Yes, right. And you'll see it all over. You see it on NFL football. You'll see it on most commercials. You'll see it just with the spiral of the pattern, too. You've noticed in the last 20 years an insurgence of the spiral pattern, which is an ancient chakra pattern of, I think, India, if I'm not mistaken. But it's the same symbol as would be the Nazi star. The kissing cross kind of thing, but the symbology is the same. It's the same symbology that people have been seeing in the sky over the last year or two, you know, that weird vortex opening up in the sky that they saw in these foreign countries that's, you know, way up in the atmosphere, and it looks like a spiral pattern.
Right.
This spiral pattern's been carved into the rocks for tens of thousands of years from ancient humanity, so... Maybe there's something to this whole spiral pattern thing, but I just noticed an insurgence of that in the last 10, 15 years, and it wasn't around at all before, and then all of a sudden everybody and their brother is using it on commercials, on advertising. It's really permeated our society and every part of our culture. It's actually part of our tracking system that UPS uses as well. So, symbology touches all our lives, whether you think it does or not.
Yeah, and we have all sorts of callers and whatnot on the show, and I can't remember. I'm sure we have before of one who's asked about symbols. That is a subject that I'm really honestly, like I told him, really not familiar with, and I'm going to have to do some more research. Yeah. And he had mentioned calling back in tomorrow. I didn't have a show planned, but I'd be willing to do so, and I did get a hold of his number from the switchboard, so we'll shoot him a text or I will. Off the air or something, get a hold of them and see, and maybe plan something out tomorrow. We only have a few minutes left due to the show getting started a little late due to the technical difficulties in the storm. So, we can always plan on doing something tomorrow. But, you know, symbology is a whole other subject, and I would love to go into learning more about it and talking about it. And
right.
It's been a pretty good show so far tonight, and I really appreciate the calls from everyone. Good to hear from Drake. And we only got about 3 minutes left. Rodney, you got any closing statements for us?
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to 10.
Well, the on-the-air is telling me I got 3 minutes left, so I'm just going with what it says.
I don't know what's screwed up
on this end, so...
Okay, I thought we were doing 2 hours. Yeah.
Drake is the one who set it up, so anyone who's mad, take it out on Drake. Send him an email.
I'll call him up right now. Normally we got another half an hour. Obviously, we didn't get to our other news stories, but, Friday night, the kicking, just started at 8. I think that would be great. So we should have time enough to cover most things by then, get a couple callers into the last hour. But, good show. I steer clear of any clowns, steer clear of any pentagrams or squirming patterns. you know, I think, like I said, symbology is going to be one of those things that, you know, we might just now getting to the point where we can understand it, but it certainly permeates our whole society. But at the same time, you know, could this whole clown thing be a symbology? Could be like a, for some reason we have it in our heads that we're scared of clowns, and either they make us happy or they make us scared. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. But I wouldn't suggest anyone dress up and go out after dark as a clown to do anything. You're just going to get hurt or something's going to happen. So let's just steer clear of that and steer clear of the
right.
keyboards, and we should be okay. But yeah, so and I. Not for sure what else we can really get into. We can't, you know, we don't have time to get into our other news items, but that's fine. You know how it usually goes. Time flies when you're having fun, so that's just what it is. But we'll see.
Well, you know, and I was going to say to anyone out there, I'll get a hold of the caller, and we'll see with Drake and Rodney. Maybe doing one tomorrow, but I'm available tomorrow to do a show, so. Anyone tomorrow, if you guys want to tune in at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern for an hour, we will be doing a show, at least I will, and we'll cover some more subjects. Sorry about the show getting cut short. There's just some technical difficulties, so we'll make sure to address these, and we know that they've been happening every once in a while, and we'll take care of it. But thank you so much for everyone listening and calling in, and as Rodney said, I don't think anyone could say it better. Watch out for the clowns. Watch out for just about everything. Don't get sucked into the TV, all that fun stuff. And, you know, happy Friday, everyone. And, yeah, Halloween's coming up, so I think we're going to have a large majority of people just pretending that they're clowns and doing what they do. But good to hear from everyone tonight. And tomorrow, again, if you guys want to tune in at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock, we will go ahead and do a show. I'll talk to Rodney and Drake off the air and see if you can tune in. But regardless, I'll be on and love to talk to you all. But anyways, everyone have a good night, and thank you for tuning in. Keep looking up.